Hello, I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to Concerts from the Library of Congress. I'll see if I can take a little crack at this at the piano. So here are horns and double bass in octaves, very slowly. Makes you hold your breath. And then we start this rhythm. Help me out with this. Dum bum 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 ba dum bum.
This is the second oboe part, and now the first oboe.
That's fantastic. Man, you make music even when you don't have your oboe with you. That's beautiful. Norman, this is a kick for me, I gotta say. I'm excited. In front of us on the piano is a score of a Mozart big serenade, or partita, as he called it, for 13 winds. Actually, 12 winds and one double bass, if I remember.
Yes.
And it's not a copy, like everything I've ever conducted from. This is Mozart's hand.
It's the real deal.
People who know Mozart largely from the film of the play Amadeus, think of the point that this music plays in that film. This is the very first music by Mozart that Salieri hears. Salieri is in a ballroom. And Mozart, I think, is goofing around chasing some lady back at the piano. And he hears this gorgeous music coming from the other room. There's this passage in the horn like this. And then it's
bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and then the oboe starts to float over it. That's got to be the greatest oboe line in the world.
Yes.
And Salieri, he's in his age. He's describing the very first time, so many years before, when he heard Mozart's music. And he said, that oboe line pierced me into my heart.
It's funny. I don't think that that scene in the movie is real. The one performance that people know of this work was a benefit performance. The Stadler brothers, the famous clarinetists, did a performance in Vienna, but only did highlights.
Well, the piece is the better part of an hour long, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's multiple movements. Tended to be true of serenades, because serenades started as a kind of party music. You'd play as much as you needed to accompany dinner.
Yes.
And you might have to play it twice if dinner went on for a long time, or you'd leave some things out if they got done early.
That's right. All those cassations and divertimenti and serenades, it was all 18th century Muzak.
Let's look at this score. The dimensions in the library catalog are in centimeters, 22.5 by 32. I was going to call it about 9 by 12 inches. Curiously enough, if I put this score up the wrong way, top to bottom, that's about the size of a piece of music. 9 by 12 is about the average piece of music paper. I don't know how long that's been true, but here is Mozart using something like that. It's like a copybook, like the kind we used to have in school, but better quality. This looks like Moroccan leather. So we open up inside. Paper is heavy. Here's the date, 1780. It would have to be heavy paper to hold up. By now, the page has a kind of a mottled, almost sepia tone to it. It's not white. And the lines of music and the lines of the notes themselves are almost a brownish color of ink, aren't they?
Yes.
So let's look at this piece. It says Gran Partita, P-A-R-T-I-T-T-A. Can't tell, because I don't know whether that's Mozart's writing, that title. A little bit later it says Del Signor Wolfgang Mozart. I'm not sure if that's Mozart's writing either, but we know that the music is his writing.
Yes.
And now that I'm looking at the way he makes that first indication, largo, it does look like the same hand as Gran Partita. I'm willing to buy that. So let's see what we have. It says two oboes, two clarinets there in B-flat. It seems two basset horns also seem to be in F, I guess. And then two horns in F, French horns, we would usually call them.
Yes.
Because a basset horn's not really a horn, is it?
A basset horn is a type of clarinet.
And they have a great throaty sound. So I guess if you put a clarinetist beside a basset hornist, might be like getting Renee Fleming up against Billie Holiday or somebody like that.
Yeah, basset horns are softer, a little bit more rounder tone, and they were part of the Stadler brothers' bailiwick back then.
Let's look some more at this score. Big C at the beginning for the place where a composer might write a meter mark. That means common time, or at least that's the way we put it in English.
4-4 major, 4-4 time, yes.
And he writes largo, which is quite a slow tempo. Here, let me try to grab a little of this at the piano. I'm not sure how well this will work. It's all over the keyboard, but I'll start up here. ¶¶ Now, clarinet. And so forth. That's an interesting rhythm. It's a very old-fashioned rhythm. It goes back to the time of the court of Versailles. It's Lully's music, the French overture style. Now, the interesting thing was, a lot of times when you're playing Baroque rhythm like that, you do something that's called double dotting. Instead of boom, boom, you play boom. And it doesn't look like that on the page, but we know that that's the way people played at the time of Lully writing for Louis XIV. This is 100 years after that, and it's like Mozart's going back into one of these great old film scores and copying a style that was very familiar. This is music of the king. Let's listen. Here's music of Mozart. The Grand Partita for Winds, which Norman and I still call K361. Here is the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment from the Library of Congress.
Thank you.
Several very vocal Mozart lovers in the audience tonight. You can hear them. They're actually speaking for all of us. I think we all feel the enthusiasm that they are voicing. Music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, the big serenade for winds in B-flat major Kerschel 361. Soloists from the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment, an absolutely crack bunch of English musicians who specialize in period performance. And one of the best things about hearing this marvelous performance of Mozart from the auditorium, the Coolidge Auditorium here at the Library of Congress, is the secret knowledge that we all have that upstairs on a shelf lies the manuscript, Mozart's autograph of this beautiful partita we just heard. The people who work here at the Library of Congress have a burning desire to make sure that their beautiful collection, both the instruments that are here and these autographed manuscripts, have a chance to sing out loud for us. Those beautiful pieces of paper I had in my hands this morning of Mozart are silent. They're just dots that Mozart put on the paper until some talented musicians come along, unlock that paper, and let it sing for all of us. That was a performance we just heard. You're listening to Concerts from the Library of Congress, a co-production of WETA Washington, CD Syndication Chicago, and the Library of Congress. Dan Devaney is the executive producer. Our producers are Vic Minzer, Noah Morris, and Anne McLean. Cindy Gillard is the associate producer. Mike Turpin, Brad McCoy, and Matthew Barton are program engineers. We have a wonderful companion package for our listeners online. You can actually see Mozart's own manuscript, along with many other treasures from the library's collections. Just click on the Library of Congress website at loc.gov/radio. I'm your host, Bill McLaughlin. Thanks so much for listening.
Concerts from the Library of Congress is made possible by the Henry W. Bull Foundation, the E. Nakamichi Foundation, Dunnard Fund USA, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art.